A reading from Matthew chapter 1, verses 18 to 25. This is how the birth of Jesus Christ took place. When Mary, his mother, was engaged to Joseph, before they were married, she became pregnant by the Holy Spirit. Joseph, her husband, was a righteous man. Because he didn't want to humiliate her, he decided to call off their engagement quietly. As he was thinking about this, an angel from the Lord appeared to him in a dream and said, "Joseph, son of David, don't be afraid to take Mary as your wife, because the child she carries was conceived by the Holy Spirit. She will give birth to a son, and you will call him Jesus, because he will save his people from their sins." Now all of this took place so that what the Lord had spoken through the prophet would be fulfilled. "Look, a virgin will become pregnant and give birth to a son, and they will call him," what?
Emmanuel.
Emmanuel. They say, they'll call him Jesus, isn't it? "And they will call him Emmanuel." Emmanuel means God with us. When Joseph woke up, he did just as an angel from God commanded, and took Mary as his wife. But he didn't have sexual relations with her until she gave birth to a son. Joseph called him Jesus. A reading from the Gospel of the Lord. Thanks be to God. We will have that third hymn, which Becca wrote herself, in the middle of the sermon. Let me just give a piece about Joseph, and then I'll stop, and then we'll talk about the midwife's parable, and then we'll proceed from there. In this Matthew account that we read today, Joseph is portrayed as a man whom you might describe as someone who is between a rock and a hard place. I hope I get that English expression right. Somebody who is in a difficult situation, but in spite of all these circumstances, makes a faithful decision. By the time that Joseph learns of this pregnancy, he was already beginning to be the target of shaming, which was common in a Jewish community. So, just a little bit of how marriages took place back in the day, in this particular culture. It was normal marriage practice to legalize the marriage, which would have been arranged between their families, as some of you in your own cultures have arranged marriages. And then they would establish a household. So a couple would be legally married for a few months, but they would not be sleeping together. They would sleep together with their families, in their homes, in their own households. So this is why betrothed, which was the word that was used, but they didn't use that, they used engaged. Engaged in the common English Bible. Betrothed is that other way that says that this is a time of betrothal where it is legal for people to be recognized by the community as the husband and wife to be. Now during this time, Mary, who is our bride-to-be, would continue as she always does. But there is a communal element as well. And one of these were a ritual washing when Jewish women would be around their monthly periods. Which means that some people may be wondering why Mary was not joining them at the bath for the monthly bath. And in this strict system, Joseph would be the man, the one holding the cards. The code of honor would require that he not take property, and women were treated as property in these days. That he doesn't take property that belongs to another. And so even believing the child as believing as somebody who is of God or belongs to God, that still leaves our Joseph in a bind. So thinking that there is another man who may have been responsible for this baby, Joseph decides the more compassionate path, which is just to tell Mary the truth about his own hesitations, but after that, taking on this full responsibility. And that happens because something did happen. What happened in this particular story? We hear about a messenger from God, or a message from God. And the way the writers say that to us is to say that an angel appeared. Keeping Mary as his wife, Joseph agrees to raise a child that was not his. But in the eyes of everyone else, Joseph is the true father because he was the one taking care of Mary and the baby. It's digging deep into one's compassion to be able to do something like that. Okay, so that's where, whether we are men or women, that is where Joseph today stands out. The scripture simply says, Joseph was a righteous man. In other translation, that is, Joseph was a just man. A man who believed in God's love and God's care for the world. So, let's go to midwife Aaron. Would we start by just telling us the backstory, the backstory on this midwife parol that you wrote?
So, in my home community, the community that I grew up in, we struggle to imagine who might be present in some of our stories in the Bible, who is written in some stories. So, we went to the scene of the birth of Jesus and imagined that there might have been a midwife there helping out. So that they would have arrived at the stable and that somebody would have fed for a whole midwife. And so this Christmas carol is imagining what the midwife would have seen. It's the story of Jesus' birth from her perspective. I didn't actually write the word, I just wrote it too. A very Joseph-like elder in my community wrote the word, wanting to give credit for the power and the struggle of birth and for what Mary went through and who this woman might have been who would have been there to help her with that. So there's a really easy chorus. And I'll sing a verse that just kind of tells the story. And if you can join me on the chorus, that would be great. It just goes like this. What in clean, white and dry, hush you just to rock a bye, try that.
Washing clean, white and dry, hush you just to rock the bye. Biblical scholars would tell us something else.
that these stories, as with many other stories in the Bible, were not intended to be factual. They were not reports, like you read in the Toronto Star, of what actually happened. Rather, the Jesus narratives were early Christian testimony, written roughly about 100 years after Jesus had gone. But these were the experiences of the people who followed Jesus and believed Jesus to be somebody special. So if nothing else, the message of Christmas Day, Christmas Eve, is that something special happened here. They may not have happened the way they were written about, but that does not make them untrue. So for people like ourselves, living now, 2,000 years after this happened, how do we appreciate a story like this? We begin by asking questions like, what do we know about what life was like in those days? Which is how we started this morning. Just trying to understand even a little piece, like how did people get married back in the day? What was Palestine like in the first century of the Common Era? We're told that it was mostly a country of peasants and fishermen who worked the land and the fishermen by the Sea of Galilee. People were either poor or they were less poor. But there was really no middle class as we know it today. So it is fair to say, my dear friends, that Jesus and Mary were poor people. And that explains why they ended up in a stable like this. Now they had laws. They had severe punishment for people who disobey those laws. Laws around what needs to happen before, during, after a marriage. And they seem to have had a very keen sense of the miraculous. You know, as we said some Sundays back, here at Queen East, we don't believe in miracles. We depend on them. And throughout the centuries of Western Christianity, you have these stories and representations of Christmas. And many of our hymns continue to do that. And I'll point that out in one particular hymn that we have. It's also true that many of the representations were done by Europeans, which explains how Mary and Joseph started, and even the baby Jesus. And you can look around this stained glass in this church. But they have also that European look and feel. So what do we see? Brian and I were looking at this. I hope I don't hurt this morning. And if, for some of you, it's a little bit far. But I'll bring it up closer here, closer to Arlene's student. Arlene, what do you notice here? Right. Yeah. Which I believe we did deliberately, right?
Yes.
Yeah. Our manger doesn't have a Jesus. Not yet. we're putting him there. When are we putting him there? Wednesday?
Yeah.
Yeah.
All right. Where you pastor.
All right. Yeah. So there. And Brian tells me there's a big Jesus here. How you come there too. So that's typical scene from the manger. Now I will invite people on Wednesday night to just imagine what that might be like. Becca, you've given birth, haven't you? How many babies have you given birth to?
Two,
yeah. And how's that?
It was rough.
Not good. Yeah. Sorry?
Rough, messy, and painful.
Okay.
And dangerous.
All right. Would mothers in this church now agree, if I may quote you, that childbirth is, in Becca's words, rough, messy, and?
Dangerous.
And dangerous. Okay, I thought it was painful. Yeah.
Painful.
Yeah, rough, messy, painful, dangerous. Yeah? Amen? Mary? Okay. Oh, we have a Mary here. Okay. So how is it that when we see Mary in this crib, in these mangers, Mary seems to be very clean, very calm, usually with that blue and white costume of hers, which I'm not sure up to this day what it represents, but maybe purity, maybe something immaculate or heavenly. And it doesn't tell us or show us that painful labor of sweat and blood. We are not told if there were any midwives around. If the story doesn't mention it, so maybe or maybe not. Regardless, I think it's fair to say whether there were midwives or other people in the stable, that Mary's faith would not be as clean and as serene as it looks. And our friend Joseph, if he were like me by now, he would likely look like a nervous wreck. After everything that he's been through, you begin to wonder whether his hand could even hold that lantern without shaking a bit. And the newborn baby Jesus, if he is like other infants that we've seen, he's probably red-faced and screaming, especially when he's hungry and needs milk. And occasionally those eyes would be clenched. And you know what they say about, tell me if this is true because I've never given birth. Now when babies come out, their heads are kind of a little bit deformed from all of the squeezing and pushing and so on. That is how our baby Jesus would look like. It should be obvious then, on reflection, that the first Christmas has been sanitized and it has been romanticized. We've successfully removed all traces of dirt and sweat and pain and roughness and goo until it no longer looks real. So we're left the messy parts. Those parts that say, oh God, what do we do now? Those parts that says, I'm screaming as loud as I can because this thing really hurts. I've been told that every mother giving birth says this is going to be the last time. And then 9 months after, they're in the same thing. The typical manger seems or paints a story that is different from how a birth in that stable might look like. The story of a young couple that has been disgraced by customs about paternity. The grand in this place where nobody would choose to bring a baby into a world in a stable like this, especially if the prophets were correct in saying that this was the new king of David, King David. A bunch of shepherds are the first to hear. Once again, dirty shepherds. Among the lowest people in society, outcasts that couldn't observe the rituals of purity. If they cannot wash themselves, that also means back in the day, they cannot come to church because a ritual washing was required of all. And yet, these people that we're talking about, the shepherds, the fishermen, the peasants, they would create together with Jesus a global movement that today we know of as Christianity. And that's what every